Okay, wait.
Can we take, yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
We are on item number 13, which we're in the same kind of issue as with item 12, the early kind of discussion on discussion and possible motion, which is no motion tonight, regarding whether the commission should appoint an ad hoc committee to consider a policy establishing a uniform process for the censure and removal of neighborhood council board members. Reason for establishing a policy would include openness, fairness, proper degree of procedural due process, and provide consistent guidelines to neighborhood councils when enforcing provisions of their bylaws and other applicable policies regarding proper conduct of board members. Again, a discussion on addressing this issue. We have, there have been some discussion about there is a code of conduct, but we don't have a real strong enforcement procedure to go along with the code of conduct. So it kind of makes the code of conduct, you know, irrelevant, or well, not irrelevant, but a little less poignant. So anyway, so the discussion is to whether we should do some sort of uniform policy that we might ask to be either a policy that the department puts out or a policy that's included in bylaws so that it's clear, that is clear on what we do for a censure and removal of neighborhood council board members. There have been some neighborhood councils who are a little, you know, who have the problem, but it never was in the bylaws, and they really don't know how to address the issue of getting rid of a board member. So I'll go to the commission first on their thoughts on this, and I'm Mr. Schaefer.
Commissioner Schaefer, many neighborhood councils have censure and removal provisions in their bylaws. One of the problems is that they're different, and because many of them are different, and when I say different, they don't all follow the same procedure, they don't all look at the same type of thing, they don't all have the same what I call procedural due process written into them. And this causes a lot of questions to be raised. And they've got to go seek advice and find out, can we do this, can we do that? And the idea with this is not to have neighborhood councils remove board members, but if it comes to that, they have a standardized process which has been vetted. First, neighborhood councils themselves have made suggestions. Hopefully, the city attorney has made suggestions. And everybody knows what the rules are and how to proceed and how to do things. Because I know that Bob Gelfand out there, both of us watched a particular Valley neighborhood council remove a board member based on his sexual orientation. This is going back some years, but that was not the ostensible reason, but it was plain and simple that was the reason. Funny thing was, next election, 3 or 4 months later, he got reelected and he was back on the board. Justice did prevail. But when you have some of these procedures that may be ambiguous, that may give authority to just certain people, there can be a lot of confusion about them. So that's one reason for this. The other is, maybe unbeknownst to a lot of people, but the grievance ordinance in the city of Los Angeles says that a board member may grieve against their own board. Now, how do they do that? They do that if something's occurring, and we've heard some of the things that might occur, and the board refuses or the board does not do anything to stop the conduct, even if they have a method for doing it, when a person demands that they go forward or what have you. And this would allow a board member, perhaps one who's being harassed, one who's being threatened, to cause their board to take some action, to do something, or to suffer consequences. So that's another reason why this could become very important, especially a uniform policy. So that's my my take on this.
Any other comment? I just noticed on item number 13 that it would be discussing appointing an ad hoc committee. I didn't know whether we needed
If we look carefully at the wording, and the wording was very carefully drawn, when it says motion regarding whether the commission should appoint an ad hoc committee to consider, and I think that that is something that we should perhaps put out to the community on maybe more than one agenda and find out just how neighborhood councils feel about this type of
thing. All right, so it'd be very similar to number 12 then. I mean, putting the word out and having... Okay.
Basically, if I might...
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this at the last commission meeting. I'm not sure, but a couple of Saturdays ago, I meant to speak with members of the Lank for about 10 minutes, and we ended up with about a 50-minute conversation. A lot of it was me listening, and some of it was me talking. And what I took away was that neighborhood councils, a lot of them don't even like us having ad hoc committees. But in order to, I don't think we could function without ad hoc committees. We don't have staff, we don't have meeting places, we don't have money to bring on staff and things like that. But if neighborhood councils have an opportunity to know that here's what we're thinking about, and they can weigh in beforehand, one, do we need an ad hoc committee to address this?
Right.
And two, if you're going to form an ad hoc committee, can we make some suggestions to you right off the bat before you ever get started? Because they have this idea that once the ad hoc committee has come back to this commission, except for a few modifications, it may be written in stone. And they never have the opportunity to weigh in.
Okay.
So I think the purpose of both 12 and 13 is to give neighborhood councils an opportunity. Right. If they want to comment, come to our meetings, send in the emails, give us some guidance as to their thoughts before we ever form one of these committees.
I agree. I will go to public comment. Ms. Cochran?
Suggestions. I absolutely do support the ad hoc committee. If we could have, in addition to the bylaws, standard bylaws offered by BONC, that would help tremendously. Because when we bring an issue forward, the first response we get is, well, everybody's bylaws are different, so we can't give you a response until we read your bylaws. And oftentimes, we don't hear back from anyone. So if there were standard bylaws in addition to the individual board bylaws, that would help. As well, if there were specific violations that we knew we could censure, like fighting or violence, excessive swearing, bullying, threatening, things like that, then at least we would have a platform with which to follow. Right now, it's kind of up in the air. And then lastly, if we knew there was a confidentiality clause, such as in my case, I submitted a letter of inquiry about disciplinary practices, and I guess because I never did find out, but the letter was publicly revealed. And so as leaders, we're not going to come to anyone if we know that there is no confidentiality clause. So I would hope that there would be some way to do that. So those are my only three suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garland.
Commissioners, Matthew Garland. And for the minutes, I wrote my speaker card out that I'm against this, but reading the item, I'm in favor of the ad hoc committee. But what I'd like to speak against is the idea of establishing a uniform process for censure and removal of NC board members. And I understand your reasoning behind it, Commissioner Schaefer. It makes a lot of sense that it would be great to have something standardized so it's easier. But my reason for speaking against it is I believe allowing the individual culture of each NC to retain the power to discipline its own members for censure and removal is important because we've got 99 neighborhood councils and they represent different cultures in this city, and the way they want to handle discipline, I believe, should be left up to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right. No other comments? Okay. That's item number 13 for the opening discussion. Bob?
Get a physical.
I had two on here. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to save most of my time for this. If we're going to have this discussion, I have a lot more than 2 minutes of comments or even 7 minutes of comments. And I just want to start out with a simple point, which is in the year 2000 to 2001, my organizing group, which actually included the founders of Coastal San Pedro and Wilmington Neighborhood Council, the very first two neighborhood councils, we talked this over at great length. We talked about it through a number of meetings, which included sometimes as many as 50 or 60 or 80 people. We talked about it probably 13 times. And we decided that we would affirmatively decide to leave such language out of our bylaws. And there was a strong underlying philosophical reason for this, which was we wanted to leave the choice of who was going to be on our governing board to the voters as much as possible, and we would create as democratic a system as we could. Now, it is true that some things have changed since that time. The term of office for a governing board member has changed. I think that, Lan, I will use the two words Michael McHugh, the person who was railroaded from office by whoever it was, Studio City Neighborhood Council or somebody. I mean, it was outrageous. It was disgusting. It was all kinds of things because there was no preservation of his due process, his ability, for example, to confront his accusers, none whatsoever. I sat there just squirming. And so what I want to offer as a possible suggestion is that the Bonk might wish to consider passing some rules that put limits on what an individual neighborhood council could do in terms of removal. But those of us who have been around for such a long time have done without removal, we would like to be left alone. If we choose to put in removal language into our bylaws, let that be our decision. We've done 17 or 18 years just fine without it, and we would prefer to stay by our system. So I thank you with that. I also was one of the people who voted against the idea of ad hoc committees. My neighborhood council did, in fact, affirmatively state that if you're going to have an ad hoc committee, set it up so that it acts as if it were Brown-acted. Make it an open process so that we can participate.
Thank you. Mr. Guzman?
So I mostly agree with Mr. Garland and Mr. Gelfand. However, I really think it'd be helpful if there was some sort of like a floor standard. So I'm in favor of most of the neighborhood councils being able to customize the removal and the censure process. But it'd be good if there was like a fallback, like a generic, this is what you can do in case you don't want to customize. But I don't know if that needs to be like mandatory. I know for Wilmington's case, we're currently having a lot of trouble because we came out of exhaustive efforts a couple years ago, and then so I think the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment basically designed the bylaws that my council term was left with, and so the censure and the removal and resignation are intentionally left blank, I think, so that we can confer with the city attorneys. So that kind of limits that, coupled with a very powerful chair, caused some problems that would probably if the removal had been in there, probably would have resulted in the removal of a very powerful and abusive chair. But so you kind of have to like be careful and strategize like how you set up bylaws. But I think for the most part, it's good to leave the individual freedom intact.
All right, thank you. Any other comments on 14? I mean 13. Okay. All right, so that was the end of our first discussion on that issue, and we will be further discussing it next meetings. We are now at item number 14, which is commission business and comments from commissioners on subject matters within the board's jurisdiction. And I know that Commissioner Regalado has something to say regarding this agenda item. We got a little musical interlude to go with your speech. Oh. Oops. What was he backstage doing?
Wow, that was really great timing. Thank you for that. Yeah, I do have a couple things I would like to say in regards to the actions of the funding part of the city clerk. And I was glad that the gentleman from the election part is still here, because I truly believe that there are aspects of outreach that can best be addressed when looking at getting people to come in and be part of neighborhood councils. When the process is easy to navigate, and perhaps maybe we wouldn't be needing as many people coming around and asking or looking for a position within the neighborhood council if sometimes we weren't losing neighborhood council members because they are just plain old overworked, and they are at their wit's end as to how to navigate the neighborhood council process. We seem to be at that place, and I'm going to speak as a commissioner, but yet the experience I have as a neighborhood council president, I really appreciate the fact that we have some very good representation and comments from our neighborhood councils in the harbor community. And I think it sometimes is an aspect of the work that we are extremely, extremely tired sometimes at the end of the day when we're coming home from work and we're trying to figure out how we're going to fit in those last few hours of the day to make or help our neighborhood councils navigate the process that we've been elected to do for our communities. I want to say that the challenges that we have been experiencing at Northwest is not something that's unique to Northwest. I've had the opportunity through our alliances to find out from other neighborhood councils that they also are having some challenges in trying to navigate what is happening from the funding part of the city clerk's office, because it appears that in some cases there will be a meeting regarding funding at the city clerk's office, and I'll use this as the example based on what we just experienced and what you heard about with the backpacks. A decision was made in January about how something might be excessive. And this, I understand, this meeting might have occurred in mid-January, and by the end of January, there's an expectation that all neighborhood councils are going to abide by that decision with very little clarity as to what exactly they decided on. I had a very long conversation with Melvin about this issue of the backpacks and trying to advocate the fact that we are not doing anything unique. We have bought those backpacks in previous years to give to communities that have, well, basically the people who come to our Pathways event are kids who really need the understanding as to how to navigate to get to college, how to perhaps maybe even get a summertime job. And so we started this process during a time when there were very little jobs out there, so we decided we're going to help young people get the skills they need to land a job should they have that opportunity to have interviews. We bring these young people in, and I'm going to say that many of the kids that we get are from communities that are impacted by economics and other resources. So a job for them is very, very important. One of the pieces that we are looking at is that every person who has a workshop for these young people, they're going to walk away with information that goes into that backpack. And that backpack also, I have seen them used on school campuses because this is what they pack their books in and things like that. So it wasn't arbitrary that we decided that we were going to give that away. It was very much a well-thought-out plan, and it was very successful in previous years, but we were stopped. We were stopped from doing that, and the event was held hostage by the city attorney that said, we will not approve your event until you remove those backpacks from your budget. So it was held hostage. And it appeared for those people from the outside looking in that the decision was arbitrary. We're finding out that during this period of time there were other neighborhood councils who were dealing with the same type of opportunities to do something, to give something away, but they were stopped because they weren't well aware of what the new rules were. I had suggested to Melvin during that time that perhaps maybe when new rules are coming into place that maybe, you know, a 60 or 90 day waiting period is appropriate so that there is an understanding by the neighborhood councils that what these new rules are and the fact that it gives an opportunity for neighborhood councils to go back through their treasures. We're so lucky that we have such a die-hard, by-the-rules treasurer that she wants to know all the rules. And then she holds us accountable, and guess what? Sometimes we get mad at her. But the thing is that she knows the rules. But when it comes down to, okay, trying to figure out, we have a new rule to abide by, when was that done? It makes the job so much more difficult for us as volunteer civil warriors out there to do the work that is so important for our communities. And we shouldn't make our jobs harder. We should make our jobs easier. And that would be, let's open up the lines of communication from at least one aspect of a city partner, and that's the city clerk. If there is going to be a decision, let's have some time so that we can understand it. And I'm going to suggest that there should also be an appeal process. If we do not agree with the decision, we should have the ability to go back and have someone talk to us about it, and we present our argument so that perhaps maybe we could change that decision. There is no appeal process, as I'm aware of, and there should be. I'm not saying that what the city clerk does is not important. I'm not saying that the rules aren't well-founded. But all we do need is the opportunity to understand them, and if we have a question about them, if we don't agree with them, there should be a process so that we can go back and have open and honest conversation so that these decisions do not appear to be arbitrary in our community. We've had this conversation at our Hank meeting 2 months ago. Happens to be that our representative from the city council was at this meeting. And he came up to me afterwards and he says, Ray, I understand your challenge because even us at the city council level, we have challenges with the city clerk ourselves. So what I'm saying is that I'm going to continue my understanding of just how impactful decisions are by the city clerk. I want to suggest that there is a better way of doing this, because what's happening today is not working. Not when neighborhood councils are being held hostage, not when neighborhood councils have to try to figure out what's reasonable and what's excessive, and not when we have to, when a decision is made in, you know, 1 week and there's an expectation by the city clerk's office that there's going to be compliance. I truly believe if there are going to be issues when it comes to funding, those funding regulations should be done at the beginning of a fiscal year and not in the middle of a fiscal year, or not, you know, two-thirds into a fiscal year. And there is a chance that some of those decisions are going to be retroed, as we heard Melanie say about us having to pay our Lloyd staffing contractor. That there's a chance that this is going to be retro all the way to the beginning of the year. And we're going to have to refigure out our budget. When we took great pains to figure out a budget that works for us before the fiscal year began, it's making our job harder. And I don't think that was the whole point of this. So I'd like to take up the cause right here today that we look at opportunities. I'm willing to go to the city clerk. I'm willing to hold hearings. I'm willing to do anything it is so that we have a process that is fair in place by at least one of our city partners, and that's the city clerk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Commissioner. I was just saying that there might be something we can further agendize.
I would hope so, yeah.
I'll talk to our next agenda meeting that I sometimes forget to call in on. Commissioner Schaefer? I'm sorry. Yeah, Schaefer.
Yes, you got it, Commissioner Schaefer. I hate to beat a dead horse. But I must say that I agree with Commissioner Regalado. I agree with Commissioner Regalado. As president of my neighborhood council, I have recently gone through some of the same problems. I have been told by the head of the unit, not that what our neighborhood council did was wrong, but after holding a meeting, they felt there was a better way for us to do it, and that they would like us to do that in the future, even though I'm not even sure they've unchecked the funding, you know, where they had flagged the particular items. They fully understood that what we had done, but they didn't like the manner in which it was accomplished. So we've got that problem. And on another note, I'm concerned, and I'm concerned with regards to certain things within the funding, because the charter gives this body the obligation to do contracts for neighborhood councils. And I think one of the reasons they did that was because it brought an openness when it was discussed here. And apparently that's not being done any longer. There are funding contracts, or contracts are being done, and I don't even know what they say. I don't know what the approval is. I don't know what the amount of the contract is, and what the yearly amount is, like we used to look at here. So I think all of these are things that, and by the way, in neighborhood councils don't know. I see we've got a list of approved vendors, but are those vendors with whom a contract has been let? Do they have a yearly maximum? Or are those just vendors that they say we can use? I don't know. I will say, by the way, that when we had a problem, I'll congratulate Jeff Brill on a yeoman's job working to get something approved and done, but he's only one person, and that's another problem. If Jeff Brill is not available, there are certain agreements that cannot be executed. They just can't. And we had an affair where we expected at least 150 people, and literally we were up to the last minute getting it finished. I mean, I think we got it done like 2 days before the event. And that's because there's nobody to backstop the one person who approves those things. So I would agree that maybe we should have some conversations. I don't know. Maybe the funding, maybe the ordinance that gives them certain authorities needs to be changed. But I can tell you one thing. From personal experience, I would advise all neighborhood councils, if you have an affair, if you have an event, look at the 30 days. Don't look at 60 days. Get it in 90 or 120 days ahead of time. And if you have to amend it because something comes up, you can amend it. Make the city clerk look at it beforehand, keep on them, and make sure they approve it that far in advance. I think that's the only thing that can be done. So that's where I am from my personal experience.
I think we should make a point just to put on for next meeting's agenda. The city clerk usually comes to either talk about election or something. Oh. To be sure they're on the agenda, so we can ask some questions about.
And by the by.
I know, but he's talking about elections. I don't know if you're in charge of funding. You know, everybody has. There are different roles that they have to play. So I know he's going to spread the word, but I'm saying that we should formally agendize. Right. The city clerk again, and to specifically talk about funding issues and about decisions that are made on excessive spending.
I wanted to call both Commissioner Regalado and our harried board member who was planning this event. As you'll recall, funding came to our meeting, I believe it was in January, just after the new regulations had come out, and we asked, I know I personally asked, what's a nominal amount? And there was a non-answer. There is no set rule for what a nominal amount is.
Exactly.
Which means it's made on an ad hoc basis depending on who is there looking at it. Maybe somebody else would say that an $8.86 backpack was nominal, but a $15 one was not. Apparently, whoever looked at this said 886 was not nominal. It was, and that has to do, by the way, with what's this called? Giving away funds, you know, gifting public funds. So this is maybe we really do need to have another discussion. I don't know what we can do, but other than our bully pulpit.
Yeah. Did you have anything, Ms. Lippman, on item number 14, agenda 14, done anything? Okay.
I have a nice thing.
I can take a motion for adjournment then.
No. I have a nice thing.
Oh, you have something? Oh, no.
I have a nice thing.
Commissioner Schaefer.
The Tarzana Neighborhood Council, my neighborhood council.
Let's make the meetings go longer.
My neighborhood council on the 6th of April, this Saturday, we are holding an Earth Day fair, where we will have hundreds of posters produced by children in the 6 schools in Tarzana. They're being judged by professionals, and they'll be awarded based on that. We'll have about 1,000 people there, and it's a really great affair, and we really have a good time with the kids being out there and participating. It's a nice affair. Hopefully it's not going to rain.
Thank you very much. Now I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Yeah. So move.
Oh, thank you.
Second.
Oh, okay, it's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Thank you very much. I can leave that. I can leave that. I can leave that. I take my notes.
With 1,000 people is the one they were giving
me. I can leave this. I can leave this.
That was that we were getting a bunch of crap.
This with me. Take this with me.
Yeah.
Take this with me. Nice meeting you too.